May I understand, 3CR is a community radio?
Yes.
Yes, but what kind of community you have in mind?
Well, the basic promise of performance that the station's adopted is to provide access for groups and individuals and styles of music and so on that aren't usually heard on other mass media outlets in Melbourne. Say an illustration of that is that we have very high Australian content requirement. It's our own internal requirement. We attempt to play 50% Australian performances, which is well, most commercial stations would average around 20%. So that's one example.
I see. How many languages do you have in the program?
Well, the vast bulk's English. We have about, let's see, I think eight ethnic language programs in the early evenings. They're the main languages of migrants in Melbourne: Italian, Turkish, Maltese, Spanish, and a couple of smaller ones as well.
But you do not especially stress on the multilingual program. You much more stress on the information about the individual community and group.
Yeah, we're not like, there's a multilingual station in Melbourne, 3EA, which broadcasts something like 40 different languages, including groups, you know, very small groups with, say, less than 1,000 speakers of that language in Melbourne. But we wouldn't want to duplicate what they're doing. So what we've done is we've concentrated on some of the larger communities, and the bulk of the remainder of the programming is in English, with information that you know, that's applicable to, I guess, everybody.
It is the same in the beginning. I mean, the such trend, I mean, the line is continuous as it was.
Regarding the language?
The language and program. Did you start?
The station started broadcasting in the middle of 1976. And there was, I believe, I wasn't involved at that stage, but I believe there must have been at least a year of preparatory work before that as well. It started off just a few hours a day on air, and gradually built up, and eventually we went to 24-hour broadcasting just over 2 years ago.
I was very much impressed because I never imagined such a fantastic station in Japan, because the regulation is very strong, but the regulation in your country has been changed.
Yes, there were changes that started to occur during the final days of the Whitlam Labor government in 1975, where the then Minister for the Media, whose name was Moss Cass, was looking at the situation where there had been basically no new radio stations set up in Australia for something like 30 years. At that stage there was no FM broadcasting, and well, the whole question was opened up with a parliamentary inquiry that found that FM broadcasting should be developed, and also that there were quite a number of AM frequencies that could be safely used without interfering with stations in other cities or in New Zealand or whatever. And with that kind of technical information to hand, people started thinking about, well, should it just be more commercial broadcasting, or should there be other ideas thought of as well? And there were a lot of people who'd seen public broadcasting in America and I think to a lesser extent in Italy and places in Europe.
Yeah, in Italy, the regulation is almost free.
Yes, almost non-existent.
Very interesting free radio movement.
Yes.
But here it is easy to get the license of radio like this?
Well, I don't know about easy. There's a definite set method for going about applying for license and that sort of thing. Whereas, say, in Italy, so far as I understand it, it's simply a matter of you buy a transmitter and set up and off you go. And consequently, in big cities like Rome, you have bad interference problems of more than one station on the one frequency and that sort of thing, which makes it very difficult to listen to a lot of those stations. Here, you know, we've got a situation where the allocation of frequencies and you know whether a station is permitted to broadcast and so on is checked and controlled and so on.
But in terms of the application of license, usually it will be passed, and the government. I think the trend has been changed after the rise of government.
Well, I think that the process is that the broadcasting tribunal usually calls for applicants for a license in a certain area, you know, to cover a certain area. It may be, you know, a whole country town, or it may be, you know, the western region of a big city, or, you know, the eastern region, or whatever. There has been somewhat of a slowing down in the process of licensing more stations in the cities. The licensing of country public broadcasters has gone ahead. There are other issues, I think, that have come to the tribunal's attention, such as pressure for supplementary licenses by already existing commercial operators in country areas. There's also the big issue of satellite broadcasting of the metropolitan television material, and partly the tribunal's time has been diverted by those issues, which of course have got very powerful interests behind them that see that their interests are pushed along.
The trend to have radio station is growing now here in Melbourne and in other countries, other cities.
Yes, the tribunal.
In Australia generally.
Yes. The tribunal's just called for applications for something like 9 small low power stations to cover various regions of Sydney. And we would expect before all that long, probably a similar proposal will come up for Melbourne as well. Most of the other capitals are now reasonably well covered with city wide stations. Say, for example, I think every one of the capital cities has now got a fine classical music station as a public broadcaster, and then there's the ABC National Service as well. Several of them have got ethnic language stations as public broadcasters as well, and some others that are tied in closely to universities and institutions of one sort or another.
A friend of mine, Félix Guattari, in France, he told me in France there are many illegal free radios.
Yes.
How is that here?
How do they compare to here?
Yeah. You have illegal free small station there are here?
Very, very little in the way of that. Before public broadcasting was legitimised in Australia, there was there was, from what I can work out, there was some people who were very close to actually setting up illegal free radios, but the legitimisation process, you know, happened, and most of those people are now involved in legitimate broadcasting licensed stations. I understand the situation's quite different in France. I was in France in August and September actually, and I visited some of the free radios. They've got a sort of a massive outbursting of something like 300 radios stations all over France. A lot of them very tiny operations that you wonder, you know, will they be viable? a lot of them a little more than people just playing their own choice of music and yeah. nothing else.
Yeah.
Very low power, low coverage, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Situation's somewhat different there, also in that there's strong pressure from would-be commercial operators, in that there up to date has been no commercial broadcasting in France. It's been only the state-controlled system. Something like only three different networks for a sort of a nation of 50 million people, so there's not much in the way of choice. The other thing that's interesting in France is that people from the various regions, the provinces, have become interested in broadcasting as a way of encouraging regional dialects and regional cultures.
Right.
For example, the Basques, the Breton, the Occitanians, that sort of thing.
But how about here?
No, not really. There's no illegal free radios as such here.
It is need not. You need not.
No, not really. There's actually a couple of potential public broadcasters have said that there's not enough happening.
No.
We want our license now. You know, if you don't give it to us, we'll consider setting up an illegal operation. But nothing's actually, no one's actually come to the crunch of doing it so far.
In
they
Japan.
Probably won't.
Oh, I see. In Japan, the law is very strong.
Yes.
So we try to form a movement to sharing the tape.
Yes.
And I mean carrying the tape in some groups.
Yes.
And it's just like in Poland, you know. In solidarity,
yes.
use the cassette tape
yes.
for the movement.
Yes.
We try to form such groups, but it's very weak in terms of the express ourselves
yes.
to a lot of people.
Yes.
So
there's no actual broadcasting.
No, never.
No.
Even the
have there been attempts?
Yeah, many people attempt, and there are some free radical radio, but quickly arrested.
Yes.
So even the big company in Japan want to have own broadcasting station.
Yes.
Never. The
state
control is very strong.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, there are five or six private to big broadcasting, but it's a very subtly controlled by the, implicitly controlled by the state.
Yes.
So the content and the quality of broadcasting in Japan,
yes.
even of the private stations, very similar.
Right.
Not boring.
yeah.
Very commercial oriented.
Yes. Yes.
So, how much transmitting power in right now?
From 3CR.
Yeah.
It's a very low powered station compared to others. Like we put out about 250 watts.
250 watts.
Compared to the standard commercial broadcaster in Melbourne who would put out 5,000 watts and the ABC broadcasters that put out 50,000 watts. So a very low power. But we get adequate coverage.
Yeah.
We'd like a little more, but generally we're quite reasonably well received in Melbourne.
Mm.
It's partly because of the terrain of Melbourne. It's a fairly flat sort of city.
Uh-huh.
Not too much in the way of ups and downs and so on.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, Sydney, where there, I think a low power station like 3CR would be much more inhibited by the terrain of the valleys and so on in Sydney.
Uh-huh. You have the transmitting apparatus here?
It's about a kilometre away down... But it's nearby, yeah.
I see.
One of the local city council was friendly towards us, and they've allowed us to set up the transmitter on a piece of vacant land near the town hall, about a kilometre away.
Mm-hmm. You have a collaboration with the another city station?
Sorry?
You have a collaboration,
yes.
a cooperation with the another station?
There's a station that serves print handicapped and blind people, and we share our transmitting facilities with them. Share the same transmitter site, that sort of thing. Our technicians work together. That's the main cooperation.
But I mean, you have a collaboration with the a station in Sydney or Adelaide.
There's a national industry body, public broadcasting industry body called the Public Broadcasting Association of Australia, and the vast majority of public broadcasters belong to that organisation. 3CR belongs to it. Now the PBAA runs a program circulating system, a kind of program library, which we make use of both in terms of putting material in and taking material out, and other stations do the same. So the best stuff that's produced all around the public broadcasting system is available to all the other members as well. That works quite well.
I see. How many staffs are working?
In terms of paid staff, there's one full-time manager and two part-time producers, and as well there's a volunteer staff of about 200.
And you're a manager?
No, Alison.
He's a manager.
Alison's a manager, I'm a producer.
Producer?
Producer, okay.
Subscribing. Subscription.
That's largely the case. The subscribers provide about 60% of the total income of the station. The remaining 40% comes from groups which are actual members of the company that runs 3CR, plus fundraising events that we organise, sales of tapes, you know, various materials and that sort of thing. All up, we've got a budget of about, let's see, what is it? I think it's about $80,000 a year. But it's certainly, you know, by and large, it is a subscriber-financed station. There's no state financing for day-to-day purposes. We have received special purpose finance from various government organisations. For example, the equipment in this studio was bought with a specific purpose grant. But not for daily running costs.
Do you think how many listeners do you have, including the subscribers?
It's difficult to know accurately because the ratings that are done for commercial operators are very expensive, and we believe that they do in fact survey 3CR listeners, but they don't publish the figures on 3CR listeners. From small private surveys that we've done, we figure that we have a cumulative audience of about 100,000 a week, and probably peaking at any one time, probably during breakfast shows, probably peaking at around 60,000 or so.
Have you felt any implicit control from the government and the city, and so such?
Well, there's control in the sense of
in terms of making the program.
There are controls on certain areas that are that you infringe at your own peril, shall we say. Areas such as infringement of copyright on material, or broadcasting of so-called obscene language, or some statements that could be considered offensive to members of the listening public and that sort of thing. Those things, if the tribunal receives complaints about those, they will take action of one sort or another. It may be simply inquiring what happened and so on, that'd be the end of it. There may be further repercussions depending on the seriousness of the matter, and ultimately those kind of complaints could be matters that are raised at the time when the station's license is up for renewal, which happens every 3 years.
I see. So all of the flee from the public organization and the state and city council.
Well, you're free sort of within set limits, I suppose, if you...
Yeah,
if you,
except the financial problem.
Sorry?
Yeah, except the financial problem.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of expressing what you have in mind and what your sympathizers have in mind, you are almost free.
There's not interference in terms of censorship of, of programs or anything like that.
No. In terms of the expressing of sex and political issues,
there's like I said before, there are touchy matters about, you know, so-called obscene language or whatever that can get a station into trouble. You know, broadcasting songs or whatever, you know, with obscene language in it will almost certainly cause some kind of repercussions. So far as political information and opinions go, there's not censorship. People may hear opinions and so on that they don't like, and they may complain to the tribunal about that. But that's a different matter.
I'm not familiar with the code of broadcasting here.
Yes,
but you're almost free, no censorship.
No, there's certainly not censorship in terms of sort of day-to-day supervision of what can be said and what can't.
Even
be said.
Self-censorship.
Well, that's a different area, you see.
That's
a different area. That's sometimes self-censorship's worse than state-imposed censorship in terms of people thinking, well, you know, should we broadcast this or shouldn't we? And people, you know, if you want to avoid potential problems and that sort of thing sometimes, but, you know, dicey issues might be sort of softened off a bit. But that's something that's sort of in the minds of the individual broadcasters rather than a state-controlled apparatus.
How do you make a program?
How?
Yeah, I mean, you have any kind of editorial board? Or almost open to the listener and the independent groups?
Yeah, the groups who are members of 3CR are the main...
Now you have a members.
Yes, yes. We have about 100 groups who are members of the organisation. They range from things like environment groups
to
trade
membership.
Unions.
Membership?
They are members of the company that runs 3CR, shareholders of that company. They generate the bulk of spoken word programming, and most of those programs would be focused on their specific area of interest. Say, for example, the Metal Workers Union would produce a program about conditions in the metal industry and so on. The Friends of the Earth Environment Group produce a program about environmental matters and so on. The Jazz Club produces a jazz music program and so on. There are also, on top of that, there are general station times, such as breakfast show and drive time, that sort of thing.
Breakfast time?
Breakfast show, yeah. They're produced by station worker volunteers, and they're not sponsored by any, or not controlled, or not, they're not under the auspices of any particular group. They are, you know, station general volunteer workers that produce those programs.
Very interesting. Yeah, good. Now in Melbourne there are some another small stations.
Yes.
Triple R and I think EA, 3A.
Well, 3A is a bit different in that it is a government station.
A government station.
Yes.
But it's a bit not big.
Oh, it's quite big.
Quite big.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Now, the other public broadcasters in Melbourne are 3RRR, 3PBS.
PBS?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Right. It's on FM. It's a very small operation.
Very small.
There's also a classical music station called MBS.
Mm.
Both of those last two are very small operations.
I see. I'm living in St Kilda now.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. PBS is in St Kilda.
Yeah. St Kilda?
Yes, really? In Fitzroy Street.
Oh, really? Yeah. I live in Fitzroy Street.
Really? Well, their studios are in the Prince of Wales Hotel.
Yeah, I live in on the front of Prince of Wales.
Oh, well, they're in the same building.
Really? No,
yeah.
on the front of...
you live opposite it?
Opposite side.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, they're in there, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
No worries.
Yeah, very interesting
good
story.
Pleasure.